still nationally almost 60% despite more controversy. Hey, everybody, KBLP America tonight, plus West Virginia folks in the center of Charleston can go back to work. The schools open up on Tuesday. It's okay to drink the water, but not for everybody around the Elk River. There are still some who haven't been given the signal that it's okay to drink the water since the chemical spill last Thursday. So it has certainly bled into the beginning of yet another week. And sadly, right from the get-go, texting deadly once again. Movie theater this time. A father texting his daughter during the previews of a movie, and it ended up with a 43-year-old man shot dead right there, sprawled in the theater seats. A 71-year-old retired cop in custody for the shooting. What in the heck happened at that theater? And that's where we start this version of ATN. Very, very sad. Wesley Chapel, Florida is where it happened. It escalated from an objection to a cell phone to a series of arguments, and then suddenly, boom, boom, that was it. And as I described it, this is what was happening. They were apparently arguing. There were witnesses there. The man who was texting watched as the other man walked out of the theater. Curtis Reeves, a retired police officer, went to go and get help at the theater and say, listen, somebody's texting. He came back. He didn't have a manager with him. He was really irritated. The man who had been texting got up, turned to the retired cop to ask him if he had gone to tell on him for his texting. He was sending a message to his daughter. So popcorn was thrown. Voices started yelling at each other. This is what the witnesses say. And then, what you cannot believe you're seeing, a gunshot. And then ultimately, this Chad Olson was fatally wounded. His wife was hit through the hand. She raised her hand in front of her husband when the shooter drew the weapon. So he staggered toward the guy who shot him, Olson, and then fell over on them. And the people in the theater were shocked. They were watching the movie that I have been saying you have to go and see, that I just saw over the weekend, Lone Survivor, of all things, the Marcus Luttrell story, the brave Navy SEAL who survived while his buddies, sadly, died in Afghanistan on a mission. So this movie theater was one of those big theaters. Huge complex. The ambulance, everybody, you know, they rush, they try CPR, but it's too late. His wife, luckily, since they have kids, had a, and otherwise, has a non-threatening life wound to the hand, as I described what had happened there. What a sad thing. What a sad, sad thing to have that happen at a movie theater. And the police officer was arrested on a charge of second-degree homicide. He retired in the mid-90s as a captain with the police department in Tampa. And he was actually the director of security at Busch Gardens until 2005. And people in his neighborhood, because of course that's what happens, television news, they got to go out and scope it out. And they did. And the people in the neighborhood said he was just a great guy, helpful, do anything for you, and just could not take somebody texting at a movie theater. So just a strange, awful circumstance, things that happened all of a sudden. And the people at that theater completely completely shocked. And as they do at every theater, no cell phone use, texting, all of that. I mean, how many times do you see that spot where they tell you not to text? And apparently it was just too much for this guy to take, and that was it. Awful. Shocking. Matinee. Going to see a great hero movie. Lone Survivor. When you see movie theater and shooting, though, boy, your heart just jumps, doesn't it? Ever since that Colorado shooting, what are you thinking in your head? So what happens here? It's a terrible, terrible thing for the family, for all the families, for all the people concerned. I mean, you got to figure, if they have witnesses, you figure that he's going to jail. Goes through our system, but how's he not going to jail? Was it worth it? For goodness sake, of course not. But something made him snap. Something made him snap. West Virginia. Parts of West Virginia cleared for drinking water and bathing and washing clothes in it. Really, the center part of Charleston, open for business. What's very, very strange about this is, as much as I am a let's not have any more regulation and red tape wrapped around us, we're being smothered in it, I have to say that this is ridiculous that nobody visited the site locally or federally since 1991. So, of course, there was no scrutiny at all. Nobody was lifting underneath the hood and looking. At the hair salons, there was more regulation, in other words, and that's ridiculous. So there's certainly now a big spotlight on very loosey-goosey regulations. Because from 91 to 2014, something's not right there. The massive tanks holding the chemicals near a major water source. So then this leak happens, and now people are paying attention. That licorice smell, people knew on Thursday something was wrong. And at least it's almost completely cleared, it sounds like. Thank goodness. They'll have a hearing. They'll have a hearing, I'm sure, on the Hill. They're already talking about it, about chemical control laws and toxic chemicals and what happened in this spill. They'll look at it in Charleston in West Virginia, how this happened, and was there criminal negligence? Was there any laws broken? You know, even if they didn't have any regulations that were violated, they still could come up with a charge as a result of the spill. So the good news is it's almost an all clear, not quite, almost. At least part of the 300,000 people affected can use the water again. Stay with us. We're talking Supreme Court and a very, very big hearing earlier in the day on Monday. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Yesterday, I got a notice from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money, but the notice said if I don't pay it in 30 days, they're going to go into my bank account and take my money, put a lien on my house, and garnish my wages. Can they really do that?
If you owe back taxes, unless you get help, the IRS can do all that and more. Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Their Fresh Start program that will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS or state have in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. You get a fresh start if you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes. They're so sure they can help you that they'll give you a 20% discount just for calling right now. Dial 877-328-6404. That's 877-328-6404. Again, 877-328-6404.
Virtual green room, Naomi Rao, and she is going to break down the Supreme Court hearing arguments in a case that's really a one-of-a-kind deal, or first-of-a-kind anyway, and it's regarding the president's power to temporarily fill some of those high-level spots when the Senate is gone, when they're in recess, in other words. A lot of you have commented on that here on America Tonight, especially recently. This came to light with the National Labor Relations Board 2 years ago. It's been, I guess, 2 years ago this month. And so this is part of what's been brewing, and finally it's here. Naomi, thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll tell everyone that you're a constitutional law expert and a professor at George Mason University School of Law. This is a one-of-a-kind kind of deal for the Supreme Court, isn't it?
Yeah, this is really a great constitutional law case, and it's about the powers of the president and the powers of the Senate over how to appoint, you know, high-level executive branch nominees and judges, you know, and other high-level officials.
Yeah, what did you, in kind of handicapping this, what do you think is going to happen here?
You know, it's always hard to say from oral argument. I read the transcript earlier today, and I think there was a lot of skepticism about the president's position, the executive branch position in this case. But it's still hard to know how the court will rule. I think there was also a lot of concern that if they ruled against the president's interpretation, that the Senate would, you know, the Senate would basically be given all of the authority to define the recess appointment power.
Yeah, you know, in reading the transcript, what really came out at you as you went through it? Elena Kagan certainly had a lot to say, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of discussion at the Supreme Court about the conflict between, or the potential conflict between what the original meaning was of the recess appointment clause, the meaning of that clause, you know, at the time of the founding, and what the practice has been over the past 200 years with presidents making recess appointments. And a number of the justices asked, well, if there's a conflict between the original meaning and the historical practice, what are we supposed to do with that? And there was also a lot of discussion about the consequences, you know, if they were to rule, if they were to overrule these recess appointments, what would be the consequence of that, both in this particular case with the National Labor Relations Board and also going forward for the president's appointments power.
Mm. And it's, you know, it's interesting, and like I was mentioning to you, Kagan, and reading it, I read transcript pieces as well, and where as being part of the certainly the more liberal wing of the court, saying that history is entirely on the Senate side, not your side. And then you had Chief Justice John Roberts, as you know, defending the Senate's role in approving nominees as important, saying they have an absolute right not to confirm nominees that the president submits. So it seems like this, they're, at least in just reading what's being said, they're kind of split on this, do you think?
I think there's definitely, you know, an element to that. And, you know, both Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kagan have served in the executive branch, you know, at high levels. And, you know, I think that there is, I think there's a lot of concern, and I think Justice Breyer expressed some of this, that this is an issue that the political branches have been kind of fighting about, you know, especially in the last few decades. And, you know, there's been a lot of back and forth about how this appointment power works. And I think it's a type of issue that it's not exactly just a political question, but I think it's going to be a difficult question for the court to decide because they're, you know, when they may come up with a judicial decision, in some ways they're going to have to pick between the president and the Senate. I don't know how exactly they're going to be able to split the baby on this one.
That's true. And you're talking about the political side of it. You're right. Democratic and Republican presidents have taken advantage of the recess appointment clause, which allows the commander-in-chief to fill vacancies that happened during the recess of the Senate. And if this goes in a different direction, then that would make those appointments invalid, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. And what the consequences of that would be is a very complicated legal question, which they didn't get into very much in the oral argument.
Did you think the Solicitor General rule represented pretty well?
That the Solicitor General represented the executive branch?
Yeah, pretty well. Yeah.
You know, I think he's in a tough spot in part because, you know, President Obama took this recess appointment power farther than other presidents have. So other presidents have also made appointments during, you know, during recesses within a session, but no president had made it during these, you know, three-day pro forma sessions. And so I think it was a tough argument to make because his argument essentially had to boil down to, you know, this is a power that the president has even when the Senate says that it is in recess. And I think that the justices were very skeptical of that broad claim.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest, obviously, in this. It's being closely watched, and as you know, from what I understand, it was just the crowd was packed into the court to hear this one.
Yeah, unfortunately, I had to teach today, so I couldn't be there in person.
Yeah, no kidding. What did you tell your, I would imagine this came up with students. Did this come up in any of your classes?
Yeah, you know, we discussed, I taught constitutional law last semester, and we actually discussed this case quite a lot because it presents a lot of, well, it presents great issues about separation of powers, and it also presents great issues about how do we interpret the Constitution. You know, do we look at the original meaning? Do we look at practice, or how does practice perhaps shape the original meaning? There are a lot of, you know, great questions here.
You know,
with important consequences. They're not just theoretical questions. You know, they have important consequences for the way the government works.
Yeah, no kidding. And obviously on the effect, as I said, what would happen to those appointments under the ruling, there's like 300 appointments since 1981 that wouldn't have been authorized. In looking at some of the research that the Congressional Research Service, you know, dug up on this, which is crazy to think about what would have happened in the opposite direction. So, and I mean, there's no question that there's fight on both sides of the, of this thing. And that's why you had the packed courtroom and as to what ultimately will be the decision here. And the White House is saying, as you know, the White House is saying they feel incredibly confident that the court is going to stand by this. They're going to uphold it. Do you think if you were, you know, just from your gut, if you were looking at this, and I know constitutional law is your bag, what do you think ultimately, and I asked you this kind of at the top, what do you think happens here in the end?
I don't think that the executive, you know, that the White House should be so confident of winning this case. You know, I think that the justices are really going to have to grapple with, well, obviously which way they want to rule, but there, you know, there's three questions that are presented in this case. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, both whether they rule, you know, for the Senate or for the executive and on which grounds. And, you know, for the executive to win, they have to win on all three of the questions. And I'm not sure that they will be able to do that.
Yeah, you know, I'm not so sure about that either. It's in just from my point of view, the laywoman's point of view in looking at it, that's the same thing that I would say by just listening and looking at the transcripts. In other words, I'm not so sure on this. I mean, even Scalia, Justice Scalia, said that a ruling would not, as some people are saying, call into question the other decisions, too, by the way, made by judges and other agency types under this whole interpretation of it, which kind of makes sense because that's what we're talking about. What would it do to all those positions?
Right. And, there is some precedent for when other times, you know, there's been a board without a quorum, which is what happened with this National Labor Relations Board. You know, for instance, it would be a fairly simple matter for the new board to just ratify the old decisions, right? They can kind of do that quickly. Some of the old, you know, earlier decisions by recess appointees, there would be a statute of limitations so no one could challenge them. You know, there is another legal doctrine that also prevents challenges to people who are acting in a particular role as an officer. So, you know, I think the really important consequences are going forward. You know, how exactly will this affect the balance of power between the president and the Senate, right? If the president, if essentially the Senate can shut off the recess appointment power, what will that mean for the president, right? What will that mean for his ability to get people through? I mean, maybe he'll just have to always have the Senate's consent.
Yeah, what's interesting is the final thought here, your final thought on this. This is history, too, because you're talking about a tool that goes back centuries. I mean, this has been around for a while, so it going the other way, this would be of historical significance, don't you think?
It would be of historical significance, and you know, a lot of it will turn on what people think, you know, what the justices think was the purpose of the recess appointment clause. You know, the executive is making a very strong claim that in part they get to make recess appointments, you know, in part when the Senate just isn't confirming their nominees, right? Which is what happened with this, with the NLRB. And that's, you know, that's a broad claim of executive power. But on the other hand, you know, without that power, that's also going to pose some difficulties for the executive branch.
Yeah, no kidding. Naomi Rao, don't be a stranger to the program. You were terrific. Thanks so much for coming on and talking to us about this really important decision that's coming up from the Supreme Court. We appreciate it.
Thanks. I enjoyed being with you.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
20 years of truly dangerous broadcasting. Man Cow. Now heard here. Check it out. GCN.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay, and after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Life's getting better.
Hope you're doing well as the new year is starting to sink in with a lot of people. I mean, here we are almost 14 days into the new year. How quickly time passes, and what a wild start to some new beginnings, some sad beginnings as well. I talked about earlier the craziness of the texting back and forth, and what happened at that movie theater, and the Southwest airline almost plunging off a cliff, luckily not, but landing at the wrong airport and really shaking up a lot of people once they found out what had happened. And then the Chris Christie scandal politically is probably the biggest thing out of the gate, I think, politically speaking, starting off the year. And Obamacare, the rollout, what happens now as we get deeper into this, the healthcare website and how many people are signing up and the exchanges and ultimately what that looks like, because it's fallen short so far at this point and young people are not signing up. They have to have young people sign up. Otherwise, the exchanges just won't work. They need healthy bodies for sure. And Alex Rodriguez, who was an icon in baseball, you could say, who now is suing Major League Baseball to overturn his suspension. He's been suspended for a year. It's like a crazy Greek tragedy gone even more awry. And it puts the final exclamation point on the steroid era, with Bud Selig, baseball's commissioner, being ushered out, as this is the end of his very, very long tenure. And this is what it ends on, this thing with Alex Rodriguez. And we haven't heard the last of him. I'm certain of it. So a lot of you had things to say about some of what I just mentioned. Let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
This from Cal, who says, Kate, I know you're a huge baseball woman, and I think you even mentioned that you covered Alex Rodriguez. Your thoughts on the suspension of A-Rod? I think A-Rod was given up for sure by Tony Bosch, the guy who was part of that Genesis Clinic. Finally, he was worried and cut a deal with Major League Baseball in May of this year, and that was it. The house of cards blew up, and A-Rod knew something was going on because they were angling all along, saying that he never tested positive for steroid use. And of course, Tony Bosch then went and mentioned to 60 Minutes all the things that he told Alex Rodriguez to do to beat the tests, including if you have to give, you know, your sample, that you would give the sample, let's say, midstream. I mean, he was that graphic, telling him specifics of what to do, so there'd be no evidence of any kind of a steroid at all in his system, how to use creams and everything else. But this is what Alex Rodriguez wanted, and now he's fighting it and saying that this never happened, and I think baseball has him. And I don't believe that Alex Rodriguez ever plays baseball again, for at least Major League Baseball. I don't see that. It is a year suspension, so it's not impossible, but highly unlikely that you see Alex Rodriguez playing. In spring training, perhaps, maybe minor leagues, but after that, probably that's it. However, he reminds me in a little bit of Roger Clemens, because he's really dug his heels in that this is, he did not do this, and he is going to show you that he did not do this. So somebody would have to want to pick up A-Rod, and I don't think any teams do that, especially you look at his age anyway. And then on the heels of all that's happened, it's not likely that that will happen. Here's one from Joe in Jersey. Jersey Joe, I like it. Kate, this Christie thing is making me crazy. If you were back here, hun, all you would hear on the air is Christie this and Christie that. Every single station up and down New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and over the bridge in New York talking about Chris Christie. He must not be feeling the love, because now they're talking about auditing the spending on the Sandy ads, saying that there's something fishy with that too, and you should hear what the people on local radio have to say about Chris Christie's chances of becoming a president of the United States, running on the Republican side of things in 2016. And as I said, that's all anybody is talking about in the Garden State and everywhere else. Well, yeah, and because, of course, it's huge, this whole thing of closing the lanes on the bridge and not knowing that his aides did that, and then they were gloating about it in emails, and all of it was stupidity anyway because it didn't have to happen. He had such a giant lead to become the governor again. So it's that crazy paranoia stuff, or just getting even with a mayor who refuses to support his second time around running for governor, which really makes no sense. But here's the thing that's crazy. In a national poll, Chris Christie is still popular. I mean, 59% approval rating, that's a high number. And in the Garden State, in New Jersey, same thing. He hasn't lost his edge there. So what does that say? That people are listen to what he had to say when he apologized and said he was embarrassed and humiliated and all that other sort of stuff. And so let's all move forward. And, you know, what's the buzz on Chris Christie is that I think he's deflecting this somehow. I still do not believe, if you flat out were to ask me, does he get the 2016 nomination for the Republicans? I would say no. I'd say that they'll keep playing this up. It's not going to hurt anything at this point. But I don't think he gets it. And that was an iffy thing anyway. I think it was an iffy thing. I do. And, you know, here's the other part of the equation. The Sandy ads, you know, I mean, the White House is saying that they approve the Sandy ads. And nobody, if the feds are looking into this, the people they wanted to do the ads couldn't do the ads at the time. Like Bruce Springsteen, they wanted him to do it. They wanted Bon Jovi to do it. So it ended up being Chris Christie. He was the better face because that was what was left, basically. So that's why that happened. I think he gets cleared and he doesn't have to worry on that about that. I think that all of that investigation ends up just being smoke and nothing will come of it. Even though you have politicians jumping on it, like Rand Paul, who really wants the nomination, saying, oh, this is just offensive, and some other politicians in Washington are doing the same thing. But what's interesting is, if you really look at this, I don't believe that's going to have any effect on him. I think he is completely cleared of it. I really don't think that that's going to touch him. It's not going to touch him. The thing with the lane closures, that's not over yet. The jury's still out. It's looking like maybe it's going to be okay, but at this point, we cannot say for sure. Can't say it for sure, because it's not a definite all clear at this point. One thing's for certain. He knows what it's like to go from being the loved man, being sought after for interviews, being on the cover of People magazine and Time magazine and Life magazine and everywhere you can imagine, to and being named one of the most interesting people of 2013, to now being talked about constantly, not just in the Northeast, but outside of the Northeast as well. Here's one from Paul. Paul says, hello, Ms. Delaney. I wanted an update on the West Virginia spill. I think it's atrocious what I read this morning, that they had absolutely no oversight since 1991. That's shocking. You know, I'm not a big government guy at all, but there needs to be some regulation, for goodness sake. And if everybody else from the little tiny corner store is getting checked, how can you justify not looking at this chemical plant, especially as it's parked on a river? Shame, shame, shame. Yeah, I think that's the most shocking thing to come out of that. Since 91, there was no inspection locally or federally. Boy, talk about getting a pass. Oh, we trust you're doing okay. I mean, it's just an oversight. Not thinking about it, not checking it. What? Well, what's the reason for that? Laziness, not keeping good books, not paying attention. I think that is one of the most shocking things to come out of that. And now Charleston, hey, if you live in Charleston proper, you are able to drink the water, you're able to wash your clothes again, able to cook with the water. But if you're outside of it, you're not so lucky, because they haven't cleared it just yet, although that's coming. It's almost here, but not quite. Not quite. And quickly, I'm going to squeeze this one in. All this is from Ann, who says, yo, what about Octomom? Octomom, yeah, charged with welfare fraud. You know that you knew that was coming down the pike, right? They said that she has been charged with getting $30,000 from video and personal appearances while she was on public assistance. And that, my friends, is a no-no. Nadia Sulman, you are not allowed to do that. She was charged on January 6th, and the felony complaint was released on Monday. Stay with us.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Good news is that because of that strategy that we came up with, by the end of this year, we will have completed combat operations in Afghanistan. War is never easy. And I think that all of us who've been involved in that process understand that.
President Obama defusing the Robert Gates bomb over a couple of things, including Afghanistan, and you heard what he said. Oh, yeah, we're friends and whatever. Should have just said, listen, to sell books, you got to drum up a little controversy. So in my mind, that's what's happening here, drumming up some controversy. I think Gates was really frustrated in that administration. You know, I really believed it was interesting that he was able to work for Bush and then work for Obama. Two different extremes, I thought, as far as that was concerned, as far as that war room would be, and to be the Secretary of Defense. So, not surprising that some of what happened he wouldn't have approved of. But disappointing to hear, because I think ultimately with this conflict, when you're talking about 12 years, and now you look at the situation in Iraq and how awful that is. Next week, we'll talk to Ivan Eland about that. He's got a great perspective on now what's happening in Iraq and what we're seeing play out in Afghanistan. The sad part always to me, and the thing that matters the most, is the people who serve, the people who gave their lives for these two situations. And to in his book, Gates says that many of the troops, their morale was lower, and he wished that Obama had done more to raise the morale and that they felt like they weren't getting the support. And that's sad. And I think that's where so much of the disconnect happens in the first place, because ask people about being in a war, and they can tell you more about Kim Kardashian and Kanye West and their babies' names and all the trivia related to the gossip kind of thing that happens around celebrities than they can tell you about what's happened in the situation in both Iraq and Afghanistan and what's happening in the Middle East. And, you know, how many of our men and women have made the ultimate sacrifice and left behind kids and husbands and wives, and just very, very, to me, that's what's so sad. And in the Gates, in reading between the lines, and I have not read the book yet, I'm getting the book, but in reading between the lines of some of what I was sent, that's what, to me, was so disheartening, that they felt like the morale was low and they were disappointed that they weren't getting the supports. Because for goodness sake, if you're going to put people in those situations, and that's the military thing, fight, you know, fight to live another day, serve the country, all of that, to put them in that situation and not back them up or not feeling like they're getting the backup, wow. I mean, it's seriously, it does. It hurts my heart. And I can't wait to read the rest of it so I can really tell you more about it and give you more of the skinny on what Gates says. And we're trying to get Gates, frankly, to come on the show, too. And that'll be great if we do. And we'll ask him about all those kinds of things. But the president deflecting a lot of what he's saying just by, you know, we're friends and that's it. And trying to, which if I were his advisor, that's what I would say you do, just move away from it. But I think there's more to that. You know, there's more to that story, and he couldn't take it. He didn't want to. He didn't want to be part of that administration eventually at the end. And what's also interesting, and this is, again, just the snippets I've been sent, and, you know, it's all about context, and I'll have better context once I read this, and I will read it cover to cover when I get it. But the what's interesting is Gates felt that Hillary Clinton would make a good president, saying that, you know, if she decided to run, she would be good. How about that? And part of that is interesting because I was told by somebody that there really is, and I know this is going to make some of you, it's going to make your skin crawl, I just know it, I can feel Izzy right now, the fire running up and down her face, but that she was respected by a lot of generals, that she was respected by a lot of people in the military. And that this person I know was in the room where the generals were really taken with Hillary and her knowledge and how she dove into what they were talking about. So this could be what Gates was feeling and when he was around. His book is called Duty, Memoirs of a Secretary at War. And he said that Clinton told Obama that, you know, she opposed the troop surge in Iraq for political reasons because she was running against him in the Iowa presidential caucuses at the time. And she thought, or Gates thought, that that was quite an admission to make in front of him. And that that was what that was about. But otherwise, he had nothing but praise and said she was smart and pragmatic and she was a valuable colleague and an incredible representative of the United States all over the world. What's also interesting is Gates was not a fan of the VP, Joe Biden's. He said that he's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades. And when he was asked whether Biden, you know, over the weekend somewhere when I was flipping around, he was asked whether he'd make a good president. He said, well, maybe he'd be even-handed. I guess he would. And he just laughed about it. So he's not a big fan of the VPs, but thinks that Hillary Clinton would actually be okay. Isn't it interesting? I mean, you know, this is the game of politics. That's what happens. It's that you dance around the issues and then see where the cards fall because you never know who's going to end up where. And here's a guy who served, as I said, crazy. He was in the Bush administration and in the Obama administration, too. And with so much of the heat leveled on Chris Christie at this point and looking at the future, for sure, even though she's saying no, unless there's some kind of health reasons or something else with the family, I can't imagine you don't see Hillary Clinton really pushing for that Democratic spot. And on the Republican side, there are probably six or seven on the bench at this point that could end up with the nomination. I mean, who knows? While the clock is ticking and it's never too early when you're only a couple years away, it really heats up, I think, in the next 4 or 5 months. The next 4 or 5 months, things will shake out and we'll get a better sense, certainly by the summer, of what's what and who may emerge. It may even be somebody that we're not expecting at this point. I definitely think Rand Paul is going to try to go for it on the Republican side, and so maybe the Chris Christie thing is a gift to him, even though the polls still show that Christie is not losing as much steam as we would all think with this bridge scandal on top of the Sandy Aid and everything else, even if he gets past it. So how about that? And a quick political note here, by the way, on dollars and cents. This kind of went under the radar because of all the other talk, but congressional leaders say they've reached an agreement on a $1 trillion spending bill that will fund the government through the end of the 2014 budget year. Woohoo! More money. That's what it's about. And, you know, it follows what they laid out in their budget agreement in December, so this should just fly the way it is. $1 trillion. What does a trillion even look like? A $1 trillion spending bill. Can you imagine? Somehow, some way, there has got to be a better way to do these budgets. I mean, there has to be, right? Any thoughts on the show, send them to me. You can always hit us up on the mailbag, americatonight.net.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.